Alright. I'm live. My name's Hallie. Again, a compulsive overeater. Thanks to Sabrina, asked me to come, and thanks to all the panel who made this happen today. I'm actually looking forward to learning a lot, too. As the person with the shortest amount of abstinent time, I think it's interesting that I get to do the how to be effective sponsor, but I'm going to give it a shot because one of my top things of how to be a good sponsor is to have a good sponsor. And I have a good sponsor, so a lot of the things that I'll be saying are just straight down from her. Actually, I just wanted to share a little bit of my experience on how I got to be a sponsee and how I got to be a sponsor, and then I'll address the questions. I came into OA kind of shell-shocked from an emotionally abusive relationship, and I had already been in recovery in AA for 12 years before I realized I had a problem with food. And I was like, wow. I look back and I still think, wow, how could I have missed that? But I did. And I came in very much dissociated, and it was very... I was very glad. I met my sponsor at my first meeting, which is the 8 o'clock early birds meeting over in Springfield. And she came up to me afterwards and shared with me her experience, strength, and hope, which I could relate to. You know, so for her to come up to me afterwards and, you know, talk to me was really helpful to me. You know, instead of just looking at the list of who's a sponsor or, trying to find someone in the sea of people. Because in some ways it was a comfortable, familiar kind of place, and in some ways it was like they're talking a completely different language and I understand what's going on. So I called her, and I went on one more sugar binge that weekend, and then I called her and asked her to be my sponsor like the Thursday after my first meeting, and she outlined what my trigger foods were for me and where to start, and defined abstinence, for what my definition of abstinence is. And that is, and then I started that day, and I've been abstinent ever since. And it's just, I'm really grateful that her, way of doing things was to define an abstinence that you can keep. I feel very strongly about that when I sponsor. You know, okay, where do you want to start? Because this thing is a dynamic living thing. And it grows, it shrinks, it changes shape, you know, depending on, you know, your experience. And I'm so glad that she, because things have changed with my definition of abstinence, but I know they call it bottom line abstinence. It's definitely sugar or any kind of cereal that comes in a box. You put cereal that you put milk on. So, that helped me when she was able to define that for me. And then we talked about my food plan. We actually both have the same kind of food plan. So it's easy to relate to, and it still is. You know, she's actually wanted to lose weight, like, recently, so she was on a more of a weight loss thing. So, it's been, after 5 or 6 years, we can talk to each other about things like that. But back at the beginning, I called her all the time. I called her almost every day. And that was helpful for a little while. And then I kind of tapered off into calling her twice a week, which I still do to this day. We have twice a week. That's the first time I ever did calling my sponsor at an appointment time, you know, at a specific time. And that was difficult for me. I had to actually set my phone to remember to, you know, because I didn't. And, you know, so that was a good discipline for me to, call it a specific day and time. And we started working through the steps almost right away. We got the workbook, you know, and we did that. I love the OA workbook. It's got some great questions, and the 12 and 12 is, you know, just an awesome way to go through the steps. Of course, you can always refer to the big book as well. It's got a lot of good information in it. You know, so that's how I kind of got to be a sponsee in OA. How I got to be a sponsor was actually not too long. I had less than a year of abstinence when somebody came up to me and said, "Will you be my sponsor?" You know, somebody asked me. And I'm like, "No, I haven't. I don't even have a year yet," you know. And in AA, that would be kind of like you wouldn't, you know, be sponsoring people if you had maybe less than a year, but maybe so. But she was not taking no for an answer. And she is still my sponsee to this day. And she's been awesome for me. And she actually led the meeting this morning. And I thought it was serendipitous that she was, I'm the speaker getter for that meeting for a couple months. And today was the day that she spoke. And, you know, we've been through so much together. And it's so nice to be able to, like my sponsor, to be able to go back with her 5 years and say, this is how far you've come. And my sponsor does that to me every once in a while. Just a recap of like, okay, do you remember what it used to be like? You know, so she gives me a recap of the positive things that I've, you know, accomplished or co-accomplished with my higher power. And that is an invaluable resource. I guess that sounds kind of cold to say it like that, but a really amazing piece of my heart that's able to be kind of activated by this other person, and it feels good to do that for someone else too, and mean it, you know, not just blowing smoke. She calls me twice a week, you know, just like I do with my sponsor at a specific day and time, and that has worked. We work the steps through the workbook, and that works out really well. But even though it's like the two days a week thing, my phone is always open. So is my sponsors for me to call anytime. You know, when I realized that because of the way my property settlement was worded or ended up with my when I got divorced, I realized I was gonna owe the government, the IRS, $9,000. You know, so do I just, you know, wait till the next meeting call? No. You know, when my sponsee decided she had to quit her job, did she wait until our next call time? No. She called me right away, and it was the right thing to do. She's been an amazing journey. But, you know, good things too. You know, she called me not too recently and told me she was pregnant. You know, so it's so nice to hear the good news too. I've had sponsees that really just wanted to have a sponsor, just to check it off the list. Like I have a sponsor, and even that they were they would even call. You know, but I said, you know, similar to what Mary's saying, if we're not working the steps, I'm just your friend. You know, and I can be your friend if you want me to, but if we're not working the steps, then I'm really not your sponsor. So, you know, I've had some people who just couldn't make the program a priority and could never get abstinent, and I can't do that for them. You know, I won't shame anybody either into trying to do that. All right, how about the question, what is a good sponsor and how can I be one? One is to have a good sponsor, and two is to practice. You know, as a perfectionist, you know, I could do stuff if I believed, you know, but it doesn't work out that way. I'm so grateful to have started sponsoring early in my OA abstinence. For me, what I think is an effective sponsor is, I call it to be in it for the whole enchilada. Because it's not just about the steps, it's about the relationship. And if you're in recovery, chances are you have problems with authority. And one day you're going to get mad at me, or you're going to balk, or you're not going to call me, or, you know, we can work that out. When I tell my sponsees, we're going to work out relationship stuff too, because it's going to come up. And I don't want you to get a new sponsor because, or think that we can't. I don't want you to cut and run at that point, and you know, mess up your program or your abstinence when eventually we have to work that stuff out. And that has been that has been a lot of growth for me and everyone. I mean, I've done this. My sponsor calls it going to the mat. We go to the mat. I mean, we go to the mat and we, you know, say how we feel and what we're feeling and get it all worked out. And I've done that with other sponsees, and I've done that with my sponsees. And it feels good to be. It's practicing being a loving parent. You know, I think you said that, Mary. And that is really. It helps for them, and it helped me realize what a loving parent looks like. Because I also go to several programs. I go to AA, as I mentioned, OA, and also ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics. And, you know, that's about being, learning how to be your own loving parent, which I think kind of, you know, applies to any recovery program that you're in. But, you know, I get a chance to see what that looks like. With my sponsees, and to learn from that for myself. The other thing is to encourage other people's input. I mean, I am not like the last word on anything. You know, if somebody feels like they want to get another opinion, I'm like, please. You know, and for me, it's the rule of three. Before doing anything major, you know, talk to three different people. And that is something I learned in recovery. I didn't come up with that myself. At one point, one of my sponsees wanted to try the HOW program. You know, thought her abstinence wasn't clean enough. It wasn't clean enough. And I'm like, you know, you've been talking about this for like a year. You know, I think you should try it. I really do. And this is not a way to say like, you know, fine, you don't like the way I'm doing it, why don't you go try some other way? You know, it was like, I'm on your side. I'm your advocate. You know, I'm telling you that this has come, I've noticed that this has come up a lot. And so why don't you try it? So now she does a combination. She did HOW, you know, she got involved in HOW, really took to it. And then, you know, she's kind of put something together that's a mix of HOW and, you know, I don't know what to call it, other OA or, so she's, and she has a sponsor in that program and me, and she's doing well. So it's, I won't ever discourage anyone from, talking to someone else. I believe in making decisions together about, you know, what their abstinence, definition of abstinence. You know, as far as the definition of abstinence, I read the abstinence book when I first got in here because I was like, what is abstinence? You know, and that is a wonderful book about, you know, every couple of pages it's somebody else's definition of what abstinence is. And it's just, it's a wonderful resource for sponsees and for anyone, but I love that book. Making decisions together. If someone feels like, you know, some kind of sugar food should be off their list, I'm like, okay, well, let's go with that for a couple weeks or a month and see how you feel. Or I think this should be on. I think this should go back on my food plan or on my, you know. I'm like, okay, let's do that for a couple weeks or a month and see how you feel. So I'm not going to say like, whoa, that's sugar. You should, nobody's supposed to eat sugar in this program. You know, everybody's abstinence is different. And, you know, in the AA literature, it says John Barleycorn is our best advocate, you know. So whatever, you know, if it's going to make you uncomfortable, and it's going to, I call it kicking the beast. If you kick the beast, you're going to know it. and it's going to be awake, and you're going to be miserable. So as long as they're honest with me about if they're miserable or not, then we have a working relationship. This is something that's going to work. So, you know, I don't tell people what to do. I ask them what they think, and I encourage them to, you know, find a food plan and define your abstinence. And defining, especially at the beginning, one that they can keep. Let's see, how am I doing here? Oh, not too bad. All right, how... I like to... I received acceptance and kindness from my sponsor, and I like to pass that along. You know, I thought that the best method was like a character defectectomy, you know? And I don't think that anymore. You know, I make friends with my character defects and ask them, you know, because really I just want to feel good in my own skin, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some of the ways that I do that are unhealthy for me, so I just have to learn healthier ways to do that. You know, since being in recovery, I took up knitting, you know, to in OA. I knit to, like, keep the gerbil busy and feel like I'm doing something creative, or feel like I'm doing something when I'm not really doing anything. But that acceptance and kindness, you know, my sponsor taught me how to say, if I'm acting out, she goes, well, that's interesting. What is the information about that? What is the information about that? That's gold, really, because if I, you know, I keep it all in as much as I can, but when I act out, there's some good information there. You know, what's behind that? Why are you doing that? You know, what's up with that? You know, so I really, that voice that says, you know, wow, honey, what's up with that, is really a voice that I learned in OA through sponsorship, through being a sponsee. Another thing that's kind of a slip versus a relapse is a topic. You know, what's the slip versus relapse? And, you know, kind of just describe, you know, if my sponsee grabs a cracker and it tastes like more, you know, and there's all of a sudden the beast wakes up and they didn't intend on, you know, that to me is a slip, not a relapse. If your bottom line abstinence is, for instance, sugar, and you've gone a 3-day sugar binge, then that's a relapse. But, you know, so, you know, I think being continually resetting the clock can be demoralizing, and I don't see any value in that. But, you know, if they feel strongly about resetting the clock, then that's fine, you know, that's fine. So, how good do I have to be in the program? Well, I think anyone who's a sponsor should be abstinent. And I don't know what the time period would be. But if you're not abstinent, then I don't see how you can be a sponsor, or I don't see how I could be a sponsor. And also working the steps. I work the steps in lots of different programs, and as long as I'm working the steps somewhere, I'm working on... and in connection with my sponsor, then I think I'm pretty good shape. And honest about my triggers and weak areas. I think a perfect sponsor is pretty useless. You know, my sponsor's always been candid with me about where her trouble areas are, and, you know, what still comes up for her. You know, and for me too. Of course, share my experience, strength, and hope with my sponsees. But, you know, there are things that still are triggers for me. You know, being on travel. I was on travel this week for work. Still a struggle, you know, not to be in my routine. So just to be honest about that, and know that just because I've been working the program and in OA doesn't mean that I don't have any struggles anymore. What are the limitations of sponsorship? You know, I think of the Al-Anon boundary, concerned but not responsible. you know, that has been my line for, you know, you know, if necessary, I'd like to think I'd drop what I'm doing and be helpful. Sometimes with food, it's, you know, maybe not as urgent as if someone's, you know, inebriated, but you know, I think it's good to be an advocate. I consider myself an advocate for my sponsee. I'm on their side, and that comes before being a friend. And I imagine that, you know, I'm always open to all sides and whatever else, you know, whatever other things that they hear. But, you know, I think a lot of, especially women, it's difficult to be your own advocate. And that is, I will say, you know, that is unfair treatment that you're getting. You know, in my opinion, that's unfair treatment. So, you know, I think that's important. And in some ways, you have to be a little bit removed to be able to have that voice. Can't be friends. But I also think that eventually, eventually a sponsor sponsorship does turn into a friendship, and you have to get a new sponsor. You know, it's been my experience in a couple of different programs that eventually you're so close that you become friends and you share, but there also always be an awesome resource. I mean, I'm not saying that you part ways. I'm just saying that eventually, you know, it might take 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, you know. If I hear somebody's had the same sponsor for 20 years, I'm like, I don't know. Are you getting any more input? You know, are you how fresh is your program? You know, maybe that's, I've found that I've had to get other, I've gotten other input. You know, sometimes I'll have somebody that I talk to. I have my sponsor, but also she uses me as a sponsor sometimes because we're that good of friends, have known each other, we've gone to the mat, there's just an incredible relationship there. And I don't want to diminish the relationship that exists there. But I think sometimes it's important to get a little bit of fresh blood into my program. And I would encourage my sponsees to do that too if they felt that it was a little bit stale or, you know, they were uncomfortable in any way. They were feeling uncomfortable. Actually, I've got 2 minutes, but I think just in closing, I would say being a sponsor is an amazing experience. I mean, when Mary said you always tell your sponsees what you need to hear, I laughed because it's so true. It's like you know, they're just gold that way, and. But I just said what I need to hear. But or take my advice because I'm not using it, kind of thing, right? but it's a fabulous I can't believe I'm lucky enough to be in recovery and to have this other kinds of relationships. On both things, I'm very grateful for. So, thank you for letting me share.
Before Dan starts, let me.